From Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we are rocking out in our spandex and our fingerless gloves because we're talking about hair metal today, and specifically talking about hair metal from 1981 to 1991.
This is probably, like I said last time, this is where our paths converge and diverge at the same time.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, this is when the Venn diagram, there's some overlap, and then this is where the circle starts.
This is where I pat you on the back and say, you know what? It's time for me to go.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. This is going to be fun because you and I don't think there was ever really any danger of us overlapping in our playlists. There's a couple bands that are overlapped, but for the most part, we pulled from different areas, and I think it speaks to the kind of metal direction that we would each follow, or the kind of music that we would each follow going forward.
And spoiler alert, I did do 15.
You did. And I said, there was no way that I'm doing 15. I said, you know, you do you, I'm sticking to 10. And trying to do 10, we also had a different plan. I, for the most part, tried to stay away from greatest hits. And you thought that'd be just fine to do some greatest hits. And I think it's fine that you chose greatest hits.
And I did pick, it's funny, my first 10, pretty much the greatest hits. After that, move into the more obscure, lesser known kind of things. We'll get there. But I dug a little deeper after in my next 15, my next five.
The next five, the last five. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's get this show on the road here. Hair metal, also known as glam metal, started in the late 70s, but reached cultural peak from about 1981 to 1991 when flannel overpowered the makeup and hairspray. Early glam metal was influenced by the glam rock of the 70s.
Yeah, they pulled influences from T-Rex, the New York Dolls, David Bowie even, and Alice Cooper and Kiss, because they'd been around since, you know, the 70s.
Totally. Gary Glitter. Yeah, David Bowie is a great great example of glam rock with the Ziggy Stardust persona and kind of setting that scene. Iggy Pop. First examples were seen in the Sunset Strip music scene. Motley Crue, Rat, Quiet Riot, Twisted Sister, Stryper, Def Leppard, Dokken. All of these are early names in the hair metal scene.
And although associated with L.A., Def Leppard evolved actually to fit in from their first foray into music during the new wave of British heavy metal. And Twisted Sister and Bon Jovi were actually East Coasters. And then Dokken spent tons of time like in Europe and Germany touring around and building up a reputation and a stage show before they made it over to the States.
And not the Europe that did the Final Countdown.
No, right? Like actual
Dokken
Europe.
Did spend some time in Europe.
No,
gotcha.
Yeah. The place, not the band.
Right, exactly. But from 1981 to 1991, other bands like Poison, Skid Row, Cinderella, Warrant, they all rode the wave of pop metal success. It seemed like any band had to have their guitar slinger. This was kind of the age of guitar heroes. So you had Warren DeMartini, George Lynch, Mick Mars, known for their flashy solos, Kirk Hammett, Dave Mustaine, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, Tony Galpine, and more. Made names or gained stardom because of their guitar skills. Slash, another good one.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to think of Guns N' Roses as a hair metal band. I've come around on it, but you know, I think of hair metal with the look of bands like Skid Row, Motley Crue, Warrant, really, really high teased hair with product, fingerless leather gloves, spandex usually. And Guns N' Roses always felt like the gas station mechanic that serviced the kids at the club, you know?
Yeah. And to be fair, they were at the tail end of it for the most part. I mean, they came out, I think their first album came out in 87 or 88. And they were at the tail end. And also, I think they were in direct response to some of that flashy Poison type behavior.
Yes. To kind of show that they could do the other thing, which is kind of go more lo-fi.
Yeah. And so I think they kind of rode this weird balance between Poison and Metallica. And then they fell further into the more hard rock area, the further along they went. Because by... User Illusion 1 and 2, they'd fully fallen into a different genre that was almost all their own. And then they had the, you know, the ego that went along with it for the double album.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Double ego. MTV is to blame for the skyrocketing popularity. Of course, bands made flashy, well-produced videos for the cable channel. Glam metal became synonymous with debauchery, strippers, drugs, parties, and scandals. And pie. A lot of pie.
Yes, tons of pie.
Lots of pie. Van Halen is listed as one of the early groups to set the template of a guitar hero and a flashy lead singer. It's kind of funny. You look at the path of Van Halen, who we've talked about on this very show. And
Have we covered Van Halen?
Well, we've tangentially covered Van Halen in like 80s groups.
Yeah, extreme. If we covered Van Halen, I wasn't here for it.
They weren't, yeah, we didn't have an episode about them, but we've covered them in other, in other ways.
Yes.
Yeah. But their path, in my perspective, went into hair metal and back out. Like the everything pre-Diver Down, maybe pre, like Women and Children First, their first few albums, outside of the hair metal. But then they fully seemed to embrace it when it became popular and did well in it, succeeded in it. And then I think steered their way back out of it.
Well, I actually kind of think that they kind of pulled a Giorgio Moroder, I think. I think they stayed exactly where they were and the path just kept crossing over them.
Oh, you think the path moved and not them?
Yeah.
Certainly possible, yeah. Def Leppard moved into the glam scene, but it was clearly part of it by Pyromania.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're big time. In 1982, Night Ranger released Dawn Patrol, and that hit the top 40. Albums like Too Fast for Love by Motley Crue, Breaking the Chains by Dokken, Out of the Cellar by Rat, and Kix all released albums early in the 80s that gained a lot of attention and popularity. Quiet Riot's Metal Health was released in 1983.
It'll drive you mad.
It'll drive you mad. I actually have a copy of that on vinyl, and because of a misprint at the factory, the other one side is Quiet Riot Metal Health. The other side is Barbra Streisand Memories.
Oh my gosh.
It's a great, like if there is a screw up at a vinyl factory, that is the one to have.
Yes, it is. That is perfect. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if I could eBay that thing, but it feels like it'd be worth so much.
I feel like you probably should try to get one of Quiet Riot to autograph it and then see if you can have Barbra Streisand autograph the other side.
Oh my God, how great would that be?
Then split it at the seam and frame them.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, split at the seam. Oh my God. I don't know. How do you split vinyl?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, how do you do a really good shadow box?
It'd have to spin, wouldn't it? It'd have to rotate.
It'd have to spin within the box, yeah. Or you have two mirrors set up so that the...
Oh, at angles to each other, like 45-degree angles.
45-degree angles so that you can see the back, but you don't need as much space for the whole thing to be able to rotate around.
Yeah.
There's something there, and I don't know how you do it. Let's see. Also, Stay Hungry by Twisted Sister gave early hits like We're Not Gonna Take It, and I Wanna Rock formulas for other bands to follow.
Almost every single one of these bands had a huge, very sing-alongable chorus to go along with
it.
I mean, I Wanna Rock, there's that, just everything. And or there's this huge come out of the bridge out of the solo, where there's a big breakdown and they hit the straight eight drums and the fireworks go off. And there are a couple of very predictable structures that these songs had.
For sure. They're absolute templates that you can kind of follow. Kiss dropped their makeup and Paul Stanley looked and lived the part of an 80s frontman. Also didn't benefit from the removal of makeup. Ozzy, who had started his solo career, found new life and success with his glam flavored solo work.
Yeah, his Ultimate Sin album is peak glam Ozzy with Jakey Lee.
For sure.
And I mean, that was nuts.
I mean, Ozzy's a great example of this, where by no stretch of the imagination would you call Black Sabbath a hair metal band. But man, when he went solo, Bark at the Moon and Diary of a Madman fully embraced that whole spandex, Aquanet kind of look and really landed squarely in it. Autograph's first album contained the albeit dated but still awesome Turn Up the Radio. Turn up the radio. Ozzy's Ultimate Sin produced Shot in the Dark. Both of those songs had chart success.
And I will also add that Ozzy decided he'd go on tour for Ultimate Sin, and he dragged along a very little band that no one's ever heard of called Metallica.
Metallica. Okay.
Yeah. And for some strange reason, it kind of changed the world.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder how those guys are doing.
Yeah. You know, they got talent. You know, they got talent.
In 1985, the music world had entered the heyday of hair metal. Theater of Pain, Invasion of Your Privacy, Under Lock and Key, Soldiers Under Command, and 7800 Degrees all were released and contained multiple hit singles.
You know, my dog has a haircut right now, and he looks a lot like Bon Jovi on that cover.
Or is it the other way around? By 1986, new bands that had been influenced by the earlier acts started entering and flooding the music landscape. While some, like Bon Jovi, rehashed their peaks, Slippery Than When Wet, of course, bands like Europe, Poison, Cinderella, all took their place at the Aquanet throne.
That's a pretty poetic statement there.
It is. Well written. You wrote it. Aquanet throne. Is that in Atlantis?
What's his name? Arthur, what's Aquaman's?
Oh, Aquaman's real name?
Yeah, Arthur Treacher?
Not Arthur Treacher. It's the fish and chips maven. Arthur Curry,
that's right.
Arthur Curry, yeah.
It's spicy.
Established acts like Van Halen, who had a new lead singer by now, Aerosmith, Kiss, Alice Cooper, and Judas Priest, all adopted elements or shined a new light on elements that they already had.
Alice Cooper turned up his stage show quite a bit, and then he started bringing younger bands on tour with him to help get them exposure. So he's always been kind of a giver.
He's got such a great Jekyll and Hyde persona character that he plays, right? Like his Vincent Furnier, the real guy behind Alice Cooper. Although I know, has he officially changed his name or is he?
I have no idea. I'm not, yeah. I don't keep tabs on
Alice Cooper. You see interviews with him and he just seems like the nicest guy. He has a hot dog shop. He plays golf, or a hot dog restaurant. And I think that supports kids and he's big into baseball and it's just funny. And then you've got this guillotine snake, Black Widow loving character on stage. And it's such a dichotomy. It's such a great example of that.
But if Ozzy Osbourne might be the godfather of heavy metal, I think Alice Cooper has to at least be a Duke.
Yeah, for sure.
He's definitely part of the royalty of it.
He absolutely is. One of the last bands to emerge from the glam metal scene was Guns N' Roses.
Could have also been one of the things that signaled the end of glam metal was their entrance into it.
Another band started as a glam band and moved far away to later reinvent themselves, a little band called Pantera.
Their first two albums are so glammy.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. And to find them, you have to dig and dig. That's not something readily available are the first two Pantera albums. They don't even claim them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez, they've disowned them.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. In 1986, Dio put together an all-star roster of metal artists to record an album to support fundraising for famine in Africa. Musicians participated in on the track.
All right. So the making it's called Hearing Aid.
I remember Hearing Aid.
Yeah. And the song is called Stars.
Yeah.
There's a making of it that I actually own the VHS of, but it's on YouTube now. And it is so worth the 45 minutes or so you spend on it. It includes Blackie like Lawless. It includes all these different, Yngwie Malmsteen, George Lynch, Jeff Tate's got the greatest hair. In ever on it.
Wow.
But then you think they're taking it seriously. You hear like Ronnie James give this really impassioned speech about why he's doing the project and all this kind of stuff. But then it shows two of the three members of Spinal Tap. So you're not sure exactly how serious they're taking it.
Well, I mean, those guys, for as much of a parody as Spinal Tap is, it's, you know, they're genuinely playing their instruments.
Oh,
and they've written their stuff. But yes, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying.
And I'm not doubting their musical talent. I'm not even doubting their willingness to participate in something good for the world.
Sure.
It's just, it's weird that there are all these guys and then there's people pretending to be other people.
Tap. Yeah. There's I would have been down with Weird Al Yankovic being part of We Are the World. I think that would have been just
fine. I think an accordion solo would have been perfect after the Michael Jackson piece.
Yeah, now we're talking. There are people dying. It's time to lend a hand. Yeah, I can hear it now. I love it. The gates were open with bands like Britney Fox, Winger, Danger, Danger, Enough is Enough, Skid Row, Skid Row, Slaughter. I was on a roll there. Slaughter, Firehouse, Babylon AD, Hurricane Malice, and so many more.
So it wasn't just a U.S. phenomenon. There's a band that I actually really like called Rata Blanca, and they're from Argentina, and they were huge. They actually, in 2019, they were played here in Salt Lake still. So, like, internationally, glam band had started, and in some cases, still have a huge following.
So Rata Blanca,
that's white rat.
White rat, yeah.
Yeah.
It's because we've run out of other white animals for heavy metal bands.
White tiger, white snake.
White snake.
Great white.
White lion, great white, yeah. I guess White Lion wasn't really a heavy metal band. The 1988 film, The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Metal Years, was released.
Okay, so this is a great documentary, but there's a part in there where a guy's basically drinking himself to death in a pool.
Ooh.
And it's really kind of hard to watch now. Also, Dave Mustaine says he regrets being part of it because he kind of was associated with all that glam stuff that he really didn't like.
Yeah, sounds like a rough watch. I'm glad you're not suggesting it for Patreon.
We will watch it sometime. I'm just not ready to watch it yet.
Fair enough. As the decade came to a close, many of these bands started to lose key members of their writing team. Vince Neil went solo, CC DeVille left Poison, Izzy left Guns N' Roses. You start to see these bands kind of fall apart. Many see 1991 as the year that hair metal died. Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Nirvana all entered the airwaves and sounding, looking, and acting in direct opposition to glam metal.
Also,
grunge is the opposite of glam.
And we also had the peak of Ego with the release of User Illusion.
Yes.
And then we also had Metallica release the Black Album that year, which shifted heavy metal in a different direction.
God, that was such a huge turning point. There were some that tried to adapt and move on with various levels of success. Van Halen tried and sold well, while Warrant and even Guns N' Roses struggled with excess and ego.
George Lynch left Dokken to do the Lynch Mob, and they were never quite the same after he left. They did do that cover of One that you like.
Dokken did the cover, yes, that's right. In the late 90s, early 2000s, there was resurgence in glam metal with bands like The Darkness, Crazy Licks, Santa Cruz, The Struts, and speaking of parodies, Steel Panther. Yep. If I could have, I actually absolutely would have included Glory Hole by Steel Panther in my playlist. But I had to look up the date and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely couldn't do that.
Well, and also their song Community Property is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, the Darkness, I even, you know, they're so good, it's hard to not think they're doing it as a parody, but they're so damn good. You know, I really like the Darkness.
Well, and also Steel Panther covered Fantasy, and their version of Fantasy is amazing.
Huh.
They out Aldo Nova at Aldo Nova.
Yeah, that's another band we haven't brought up, Aldo Nova. What was their song? Something Blue?
Well, I know they did. He did Fantasy, but I don't know anything else he did. I was never a huge. Yeah, I was more fascinated at the fact that Fantasy is a note for note musical cover of Jane by Jefferson Airplane.
Really?
Different lyrics, up to and including the grunt before the solo.
I'm gonna listen to that after the show here.
I want to be here when you listen because it's dead on. Like once you get to the synthesizer part and they go da 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 ba da ba ba da ba ba da ba da. It's Jane.
Wow. Okay. Because I'm a big fan of that song Jane. So it'll be cool to kind of hear the comparison. All right, let's talk about our playlist. Obviously, there's no real statistics, general notes we can do or Stairway to Heaven songs, although. I think if there's a Stairway to Heaven song, I would say Pour Some Sugar on Me or You Give Love a Bad Name, maybe.
Oh, gee whiz. And I was thinking something a little earlier that still is heard today. Like I Want to Rock or We're
Not
Going to Take It.
You don't think Pour Some Sugar on Me is still here?
Oh, I do, but only at strip clubs, Brian.
Well, that is where I hear it all the time. Yeah, I mean, it feels like the Smells Like Teen Spirit is the Stairway to Heaven grunge song.
Yeah.
So it feels like there has to be an equivalent.
It could be. It could be Home Sweet Home, to be honest with you. Motley Crue.
Maybe. It just didn't seem like it was as genre-defying as some of the other ones. I mean...
You mean defining?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Defying.
Defying? Sorry, yeah. Genre defying. Defining. I was thinking, I was actually pulling up. So here's what I did, and this is a great setup for my playlist, is I started by pulling up the massive hair metal essentials playlist on Apple Music. And what I did is I started with those songs and then went to the albums and said, all right, so first song on the list is... Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. So then I went to Hysteria and I said, all right, I'm not going to choose Pour Some Sugar on Me. What other songs on here do I like? And so I picked, another song from that album. Kickstart My Heart from the Dr. Feelgood, Motley Crue album. That could be, Living on a Prayer might be a better hair metal Stairway to Heaven song.
Yeah, I could probably get behind that one.
Yeah. Nothing But a Good Time by Poison. The Final Countdown by Europe.
Which is now sold out to be part of a Geico ad.
Yes. Well, after being part of Arrested Development too. Used to great effect in Arrested Development. All right. So starting with all of those songs and going to albums, here's what I came up with. And I'm starting off.
Before you start that, I think it's really sweet you went to Apple Music because I just went to my phone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I went to my own collection.
I don't own any of these albums, Hammond. I mean, I've got Van Halen. I've got that Quiet Riot album. I probably have a Bon Jovi Greatest Hits, but here's my controversial point. I actually don't really care for Bon Jovi. I like Slippery When Wet. Everything, Wanted Dead or Alive is great. Lately his stuff has just completely ruined me because it's every time I see him come up on new releases and I check out some of the new stuff he's putting out, it feels so...
Michael Bolton-y?
Yes, Michael Bolton-y with a side of disingenuine Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love Springsteen, and I'll fight for Springsteen till my dying day. And he does this thing where, you know, he does these great stories in his music about people at amusement parks and let's hit the road, baby. We're just going to leave this world behind us and go off and go somewhere else. And Fred worked in a factory and worked his fingers to the bone for his whole life. Bon Jovi has slipped into Michael Bolton covers of those kinds of songs.
Yeah, he's discount Richard Marx-ing it through his later career.
Yeah. Oh, and I like Richard Marx now too. I didn't like him in the 90s, but I follow him on Twitter and I really like the guy. So I won't buy a single Richard Marx album, but I really like what he has to say.
It's kind of like how Eddie Vedder has turned into Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great... With Eddie Vedder, it feels genuine. It feels like that's the direction. And with Bon Jovi, it feels like, well, you know, most of the people that were big fans of my music in the 80s and 90s are now working as dads and have landscaping businesses. So I'm going to talk about the sing songs about blue collar workers and the plight of the American father and stuff like that. It just feels like it's so
Dad Bod Blues by Bon Jovi.
Just wait. It's going to be his next album. I promise you. Yeah, exactly. His next album's going to be called Cargo Shorts.
But you see, and on the opposite end of that, you mentioned like Malice and I own all of Malice. I own the two.
That really doesn't sound difficult. How much is there?
It's like two or three albums. But then, sure, like the two early Panteras, I own them.
Sure, sure.
So that kind of stuff is where, I was in high school, I spent all my money at.
Bread and butter. Yeah. All right. All right, let's get into this. Here's my playlist. So 10 songs. And I'll talk minimally about this, but first one actually was probably the biggest hit by the band Skid Row's 18 in Life. I listened to that song, then I listened to the rest of the Skid Row album, and there was nothing else I liked on there as much as I liked 18 in Life. So I put it on my list, and it's Skid Row is one of those bands that I kind of shrugged off, and I forgot about this song until I started doing the playlist this week. So kind of glad to think about them again.
And 18 Life is great, but I enjoyed Youth Gone Wild more.
Yeah. Same album?
I think so. I think it's off their first one.
Let's see. Big Gun, Sweet Little Sister, Piece of Me. It is. There it is. Okay. Youth Gone Wild, track 7.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, right after Rattlesnake Shake. Next one is Def Leppard's Hysteria. Yep, the title track. And this was in my playlist back when we did Def Leppard, like episode one. Not episode one. Like, really early.
It was in the top 10, I think, the first 10.
And it stays here. It stays in my favorites list. This is my favorite track from the album. I really like it. And it's really soulful.
So I have to tell you that I've never really been a big fan of Def Leppard.
Really? Okay.
And I really don't like Hysteria. Pyromania is a far better album.
Pyromania is great. And that's still square in the glam metal, right?
Yeah, because Tipper Gore held it up and burned the building. Burn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Tipper. Fallen Angel by Poison. Again, this was one, you know, going through the Poison stuff. This one actually sounded really familiar. Both Tina and I were saying, yeah, this really feels like a familiar song, but couldn't put our fingers on it. So I just said I'm adding it to my list. but I like it.
One of the earliest concerts I saw was Poison opening for Rat. And when I saw the album cover for their premier album, I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense why Rat would take them on tour. They're a bunch of hot girls.
Plus, there's just something fun about seeing Rat Poison on the marquee.
Yeah. So that was one of the earliest shows I saw. So
sponsored by Terminix. No, sponsored by Decon.
But yeah, that was one of the earliest shows. And I got to tell you, when I walked out, I was a fan. I was a fan of Poison. They put on a hell of a show.
That's cool. Yeah, I can't say I've seen any of these bands, even like, you know, Lost 80s, Where Are They Now kind of thing. Those all seem to focus on the new wave.
Yeah. Def Leppard put on the loudest show I've ever attended. It was the old Salt Palace. And I've never had a show. I've never had a louder show.
It doesn't feel like a draw to me. At least now it doesn't. Maybe back
It was during the Hysteria tour. But yeah, we saw them. I was living in the dorms. We drove up in a car full of freshmen. And when I was done, it took me a couple days to get my hearing back. It was the loudest show I've ever been to.
Jeez. next is Motley Crue's Same Old Situation. That one is from the Dr. Feelgood album, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Same Old Situation, SOS.
This album, if I were going to put a pin into peak Motley Crue, it's Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a low budget looking album cover too.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, a tile, not a very appealing green or anything.
No, there's nothing pretty about the album
heavy
cover.
Metal. Yeah. It doesn't scream heavy metal. It just screams, Bad Medicine, which I guess is another.
That's a Bon Jovi album.
That's a Bon Jovi album, exactly. Round and Round by Rat. Yeah, I listened to the entirety of Out of the Cellar, and this was my pick. I was just going with the greatest hit, Round and Round. But that song I really like, and not so much the rest of the album.
So Back for More would be my pick from that album. I like the next album from Rat is my favorite, probably in the top five of my favorite Helm Reddell albums of all time.
Wow.
I mean, Invasion of Your Privacy is an amazing album.
I better see something from that.
Oh, you do.
On
you
your
do.
List. Okay.
You do. All right. I guarantee it.
Faster Pussycat is my next one. A song called Babylon. This is, again, another band that I totally forgot about was Faster Pussycat. This has got some rap elements, like Beastie Boys level rap elements. This would fit perfectly in a mix right after You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. Yep. They kind of crossed that line. Kicks. You know, kids like Kicks because of the way they taste. Boomerang, song I picked from them. Also kind of a fun one. And they've got a little bit more of a Led Zeppelin vibe than I ever remember hearing back in the day. Cinderella, The Last Mile. Cinderella, a band that released a great cover album just a few years ago. But that's the only Cinderella album I own. Before you go looking on my phone.
Was it sponsored by Nice, the throat lozenge company?
You'd think, right? The way that guy's throat rips his throat up. Yeah, jeez.
I never, ever, ever liked Cinderella.
Wow, nothing by them?
Not a damn thing. In fact, when they show up on the serious channels, like the hair metal channels, yeah. I skip. I go to the next channel because it's not even worth it.
All right. White Snakes, Is This Love? Again, you know, listen to the whole album. And Here I Go Again, of course, was a much bigger hit. But this was also a hit, and I like this one better, Is This Love? It's the ballad, but it's still a good song. And then last one, Warrant, listen to their whole, what was it, Filthy, Stinking, Rotten, Rich, or whatever it was. Uh-huh. Listen to that whole album after listening to the entirety of Cherry Pie. And this, I kind of like that album more than anything off of Cherry Pie.
Yes.
More straightforward rock and roll, but still a little bit of pop in there, which I kind of dig.
Cherry Pie, the whole album annoys me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit too wink, wink.
Yeah.
You know, which I can do without. If you open your mouth, you're bound to
rumble. And as far as the White Snake pick, that whole album's actually pretty strong, I think. Like Still the Night's on there. There's some really, they were really doing some good stuff on that album.
I did like that as well. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, those are my 10. Let me grab a bowl of popcorn let's get to your 15.
My dream theater is my list. My dream theater comment this time is my list because it's so long.
It is. Yes. This is a dream theater moment.
All right. So I, right off the bat, I will talk about You're in Love from Invasion of Your Privacy. This is the best Rat album, in my opinion. You want to use me, take me home tonight. I'll make you wish that you were mine. You're struck by lightning. You're in love. It's not worth fighting. You're in love. We'll turn around. Things before and things subsequent have moments. But this was Rat at its most rattiest, and I still will put this album in and listen from front to back twice, three times a year. So it's totally a great album. My next one is In My Dreams from Dokken from Under Lock and Key. I could have picked any one of a handful of their songs. Into the Fire, Alone Again, Knight Rider. There are tons and tons. Back for the Attack, Dream Warriors from the Nightmare on Elm Street film. There are tons and tons I could pick, but In My Dreams is the signature Dokken song. I think if we did Dokken, this would be their Stairway to Heaven song. And also, it was the one that was in the MTV Top 10, like every day when I came home from school. So I really love listening to this song. The next one is Stranger Than Paradise by the Sleaze Bees. It's not you, it ain't me. It's our love, baby, can't you see? Why did you take me to the top? Oh no, oh no. Our love is stranger than paradise. This was pretty much a one-hit wonder for them. I could not find any other kind of things that were good from them.
I've even heard of the Sleaze Bees.
This is a great song. You got to listen to that song.
Okay,
It's a really, really good song.
I'm gonna have some time later this afternoon where I can't do anything but listen to music while I build a shelf.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm gonna listen to.
All right. Yeah. It's one song. It's like 3.5 minutes long. It's totally worth your time. You've listened to worse in 3.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me, I know I have.
All right. I put the final countdown. One of us had to. I had to.
We didn't have to.
Yeah, we did. We're covering this era. If we didn't put the final count on the list, we would have gotten emails.
That's true. And again, this is another one that easily could be the Smells Like Teen Spirit of hair metal.
Yeah, I actually learned how to play the keyboard riff when I was taking keyboards in college.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty easy one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Then, of course, I put Shot in the Dark from Ozzy. Again, this version of Ozzy is my favorite. The glam, he looked like my aunt, but he really did, actually. But this was pre-shuffling Ozzy. This was pre-Jake. This was pre-Zach Wilde Ozzy when he got more rock and stepped away from being, you know, pretty Ozzy. But Jakey Lee, he's got the Red Dragon Cartel now. He's still playing. He's still a fabulous guitar player. And he, I think, between Jakey Lee and the guy they had playing drums, made that album what it is. Then I picked, I kind of did what you did on this one, because Jump is Van Halen's big hit in 1984 from 84. But I went for I'll Wait. And it's because I love that song, but I also have a very specific memory of joy with that song. I remember I was brand new in college and we were down in the basement and this guy had set his drums up, another guy had set a keyboard up, and they were just banging around. And spontaneously, they did the intro for I'll Wait.
Wow.
And we were all just hanging out and someone started singing. It was just one of those moments where you're like, okay, this is a group of guys I can all hang out with because we all know the same stuff. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great song. Good pick.
Yeah. Then I picked Once Bitten by Great White. This is a bluesy, pop, cheesy goodness.
With great chord progression. Uh-huh. You know, you tend to forget that you only think of the chorus, but it's got such a great chord progression through the lyrics.
And when I was playing in cover bands, we used to make room for me to throw harmonica parts in on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Next one, School's Out. Now, this was originally by Alice Cooper, but that came out in the 70s. The one I'm picking is the one by Crocus. Crocus seem to put a new album out every week. I've got a trivia game and it says, list 5 Crocus albums. And when you flip it over for the answer, it says, it doesn't matter. I'm sure you covered them because they put out so many albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just picked School's Out, but that's a really good version of it. The next one I picked was Out of Sight, Out of Mind by Jag Panzer. This is kind of proggy. it's getting there, but it's also kind of poppy. Jagpanzer is continuing to perform, and they move more into the prog realm, but it's them.
It's another, like, Sleaze Bees. It's a name that I don't think I've ever heard.
And then I picked The Wrecking Crew by Overkill. They might have fallen more into the definition of thrash, but they did have big hair. So whatever. Also, on one of their albums, they did a really, really good cover of Frankenstein by Edgar Winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah.
And then I picked Gutter Ballet from Sabotage. These guys all grew up to be Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
And, oh, really?
Yes. Okay. So this has a big piano moment. It's got big guitar moments. It's a little epic-y in sound, not quite so much in scope, but it's longer than your average song. It's like 4 or 5 minutes. So
that's, man, that blows my mind, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Because it's such a different, direction. But yeah, I guess. When you hear the piano and stuff.
Well, they released an album in 92 or 93. Well, anything after the 90s, they're very proggy, like Handful of Rain, super proggy, way more orchestrated. Then they did an album. I can't remember what year it came out, but it's called Hall of the Mountain King. And they did a piece that they called Prelude to Madness, which is actually a very rockin' cover of Edvard Grieg's Hall of the Mountain King. And when you see Trans-Siberian Orchestra in concert, after they do the story, they make this big production part about saying, okay, old people are going home. We're done catering to them. It's time for the cool kids to stand up and show. And one of the first things they cover and play is the Hall of the Mountain King.
Cool.
And then they do a really good version of Beethoven. And then they play Night on Bald Mountain. Sometimes they do Carmina Burana by Orff, which is also super cool. Anyway, Sabotage. And then I picked a band called Angel of Mercy, or not a band. I picked a song called Angel of Mercy. It's by a guy named Chastain. His name is David Chastain. Chastain's one of those neoclassical shred masters that came out on the Shrapnel label in the 80s. And those first couple albums that he put out are awesome. His self-titled, and I think the other one's called Ruler of the Wasteland, something like that. Anyway, he had this lady singing with him. Her name is Leather. She's got a great rock and roll voice. And David's a hell of a guitar player. He's still working today, as a matter of fact. Then I picked I'm On to You by the band Hurricane. I'm not saying the song is good. I'm not saying the song is complicated. I'm saying this song is catchy as hell. And
that makes it good. I think if a song is catchy, it becomes good.
One of those sing-alongable parts is them just screaming na 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 over and over again.
Okay.
So that tells you that they didn't pay much attention to the lyrical content either, but still a good song. Then I picked Autumn Lords by Tony McAlpine. Uh, he's also another one of those neoclassical technical guitarists that got me hooked early on. Like, his first album I got was Maximum Security, and it has all this shreddy guitar goodness, but it also throws in a piano solo called Chopin's Etude for Opus 10 that he plays this breakneck speed. And he's a classically trained pianist as well as being this shred master on guitar. So Tony's no joke when it comes to being a musician. And again, I still buy and listen to his stuff that he puts out today. And then I had to pick Ronnie James Dio, and I picked Last in Line. Biggest ambassadors to hard rock and heavy metal while he was alive.
Well, I do like that one's Last in Line. I mean, it does feel kind of appropriate.
Yeah. So there's my 15. So.
I'm sorry. I blacked out there for a second. Listen, if we ever did a Neil Finn, it would be hard for me not to do the same thing and do like a really long list.
I'm sure if we did Euro or pop, even just. If we did Britpop or New Wave of the 80s, I could actually walk away and you wouldn't even notice I was gone. I could grab a bite to eat, come back, and then you're like, and number 17 on my list is?
I'm putting that down for next season. Good suggestion. Have it all done. Just for that. Excellent. No, that was a lot of fun. And that was a good, the difficulty level of this season really spiked in the middle. But on the other side of Slayer, on the other side of...
so for me, it peaked 2 weeks ago Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, yeah, that was difficult too. And Typo Negative.
That just made me want to watch the Brady Bunch when I was done.
Well, it had the opposite effect on me. Made me want to just shove my face in an oven.
I was trying to say that I had to counterbalance that Johnny Cash delivery of his into something more bright and cheerful. So, yeah.
That would be the better thing to do over what I said, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are coming up on the last episode of the season.
We have two, and they're both sponsored.
Oh, okay. Oh, did I see the second one?
I haven't done the notes for it yet. It's on the list. Okay. It's on the list though.
Well, it'll be a surprise. I won't even look. I won't look ahead.
Yeah, you already know though. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure I know. I've just forgotten and keep it that way.
Okay.
But next week is a sponsored episode. Thanks to Tom Robinson. We are going to be going through the music of Roxy Music. This is a band that I know relatively well. There was, a group of two or three albums in the 80s that I thought were fantastic. And then Brian Ferry's solo stuff since. I've even seen Brian Ferry in concert in the last 2 years. God, I think the December before the pandemic or the November before the pandemic, I saw Brian Ferry in concert. And what an experience, man. Cool. So that's going to be our next episode. In the meantime, we want to hear from you. Email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Our website, soundography.com. You'll find everything there that you could possibly want. Back episodes and a way to support the show. Those back episodes, by the way, every episode contains links to where you can pick up definitive albums on Amazon, links to our playlists on Spotify, as well as a way to support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/soundography. And we are releasing those bonus episodes of Soundography with some great stuff. We just did Well, we just did the Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart documentary. But later this month, we're going to be watching the Academy Award nominated Sound of Metal, which I'm really, really excited to see. It's getting such high praise.
And it's a, I've watched it. It's a very good movie. And I didn't realize that the guy who plays the lead was also in Rogue One.
Oh, Riz Ahmed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Cool, cool. Well, it's going to be, was he Cassian Endor? No, who's he in Rogue One?
I think he was the guy they rescued from the prison. The one that used to be a rebel, not really used to be with the Empire. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Right. Now that I see him, totally is. Yep. Bodhi Rook.
That's it. Bodhi. Bodhi.
Bodhi. Bodhi. Yeah, right. Of course, Diego Luna was Cassian Andor. Okay. Anyway. So that's going to be our Patreon episode. Stick around for that next week. Roxy Music and all sorts of great stuff coming your way. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.